I'm going to share just for a few moments this morning. You know, one of the things that I love the most about Christmas are all the Christmas songs. Don't you love them? You know, they start playing them on the radio, you know, the day after Thanksgiving. And some stations play, that's all you have is Christmas music from the day after Thanksgiving all the way to Christmas. But, you know, that's all right. I keep tuning over to that station and I don't get tired of it. And especially the songs that that talk about Jesus, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town is all right and all. But I love the songs that talk about God sending Jesus and all the wonderful songs that have been written about that and that tell us that the good news that God sent us a Savior. And you know, if you think about it, throughout the Bible and throughout history, God's mighty workings have always been commemorated in song. And Scripture talks about that. In Exodus 15, verse 1 and 2, this is after the children of Israel, you know, they were in bondage in Egypt, and God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. And He sent the plagues, and the children of Israel were set free. Pharaoh said, all right, you can go. And then Pharaoh changed his mind after they got out of town, and he sent his army out to overtake them and enslave them once again. And what happened? God told Moses, stretch out your rod across the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted. The children of Israel went through on dry ground. The Egyptian army followed them into the Red Sea. And God told Moses, stretch your rod back out. Now he's on the other side of the sea. He stretched it out. The waters came back together, and the Egyptian army was drowned. And as soon as that happened, here's the Scripture tells us what happened then, that the children of Israel wrote a song. Moses wrote a song about it, about what God had done, that mighty working of God, and they began to sing. It says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Some of you may have sang that song. Remember that song, Brother Carl? I will sing unto the Lord. And so we used to sing that, but that whole chapter of Exodus 15 is the song that Moses and the children of Israel sang, commemorating the mighty work of God. In Isaiah 51, in verse 11, the Bible says this, so the ransomed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, it says, they shall return and come to Zion with singing. In the book of Psalms, it says, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. So then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And then we said, the Lord has done great things for us. And so here these redeemed people are coming to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What are they doing? They're singing about what God has done for them. They're commemorating the mighty working of God in setting them free. They're commemorating that with a song. In Revelation 5 and verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song. It's talking about all the saints gathered in heaven. Won't that be glorious? Won't that be amazing? When we get to heaven, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And they're singing to Jesus, and they're singing about what he did and shedding his blood, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's going to be a great choir right there, Brother Tom, I'm telling you. Praise God. And you know, the people that have had experiences, death experiences, I'm thinking about Don Piper, who wrote the book 90 Minutes in Heaven. If you've read that book, you'll remember that he said the most notable thing that he remembered about his 90 minutes in heaven after he was killed in a car accident, was dead for 90 minutes and spent that time in heaven before he came back into his body, was raised back up, and he's alive today going around telling that testimony all over the world. But in that 90 minutes, he said the most notable, the most outstanding thing about heaven was the singing. The songs. He said, some of the songs I recognize. They're songs that we sing down here on earth. Some of the songs I'd never heard before. Hallelujah. But they were singing, such glorious singing in heaven. You know, the songs of Christmas are so special. And they became even more special to me. I know after I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I began to get into the Word of God, and I began to find out and study the Word and find out what Jesus really did for me. what his coming, what that really meant. It wasn't just some story. It wasn't just some point of reference that we, you know, go back to every year on December 25th. But it was a reality that changed my life, and not only my life here, but my eternal destiny.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And when I began to understand more about that, these Christmas songs that I've known and you've known all of our lives, they became more precious to me. The truth that is communicated in these songs is so real, so powerful, and so life-changing. Praise God. And every time I hear them now, I get blessed. My faith rises. Amen?
Amen.
I want to reference a couple of them. One of them we sang this morning, Joy to the World. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. You know, it's talking about the fact that Jesus is a King that doesn't enforce his authority. He doesn't enforce his rule in our hearts. He has to be invited in, or he chooses. He could. But he chooses to be invited in to our lives. Let every heart prepare him room. Has your heart prepared room for him? Let earth receive her King. He's a King that's to be received. The Bible says in John 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Somebody said, how do I receive him? Believing on his name, calling on him. Saying, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. That's
Amen.
Receiving him. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room.
Yeah.
I love this verse of Joy to the World. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. We've all been touched by that, haven't we? Sin and sorrow and thorns, that's part of the curse. It says, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Far as.
Amen.
The curse is found. You see that picture? I love the way the writer of Joy to the World communicates this, that we've all been touched by the curse. We've all been affected by the curse, but because he came, his blessings flow far as the curse is found. There's nothing in the curse that the blessing that Jesus brought doesn't cure and doesn't deliver and doesn't set us free from. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. His blessings flow far as the curse is found. Amen?
Amen.
Galatians 3:13 talks about that. 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He redeemed us from that curse, so now the blessings flow into our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. This talks about his second coming. You know, Jesus is coming back, amen?
Amen?
And he's going to rule on this earth, and he's going to set things right. He's going to make things right on this earth. There won't be any more injustice. Hallelujah. There won't be any more exploitation of people. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to make it right.
Amen?
Amen? Jesus is going to judge. He's going to come. This is talking about when he comes back, he's going to rule the world with truth and with grace. You know, man can't accomplish that.
That's right.
Yeah. Man can't do that.
Right.
But Jesus can, and he will. Praise God. It's going to be a glorious day. He's going to rule with truth and grace, with righteousness and with love. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And then we sing another song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I love that song. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild. And then this verse, this phrase is so powerful. God and sinners reconciled.
Amen.
Praise God. That's what Jesus came to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus came to reconcile, to bring back together God and man, because man couldn't do it. Every other religion in the world is man trying to reach up to get to God. But Christianity is God reaching down to man. Hallelujah. It's God. And that's what this scripture talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Well, he laid them all on Jesus. He laid our trespasses, our sins, all on Jesus. Jesus bore the penalty for that. For he made, verse 21 of that chapter says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We were enemies of God. Jesus came and reconciled us back to God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hark, the herald angels sing goes on to say this. Another verse says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. And of course, Emmanuel means God with us. I was reading on Christmas Eve yesterday, I was reading the Faith Food Devotion, and Brother Hagin was talking about bringing out the fact that he said, you know, we focus on the suffering that Jesus went through and the sacrifice that he made, and we should. He said, but I believe that when Jesus came into this earth, he had joy. I believe that he was glad and happy to be here. Praise God. He longed to dwell with his creation. God longed to dwell with me. And God, in the form of Jesus Christ, came into this earth to reveal what God was like. He wanted the world to know what God was truly like, what the Father was truly like. Jesus came and revealed that. He was glad to be here. He was pleased as man with men to dwell. Praise God. Hark, the herald angels sing, goes on to say, hail the heavenly Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Malachi 4:2 says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. That phrase, light and life to all he brings, is right from John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came to bring us light. We were in darkness, in the darkness of sin, the darkness of confusion and hopelessness and fear. Jesus came to bring us the light of life and the light of the knowledge of God, the light of the knowledge of who we are in response to God, who God created us to be. Amen? It says, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. I like what Robin said about that, that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but at the same time, we ought to celebrate our new birth. Amen. Praise God. It might not have happened, probably for most of us, didn't happen on Christmas Day, but whenever it happened for you, celebrate the fact that Jesus came, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. John chapter 11, verse 25 says this, Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Hallelujah. Born that man no more may die. Death has no more sting. Death has no more power over the believer. Say, well, are you saying we're never going to die? No, you may die physically, but even that physical, but the Bible makes it very clear to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day when Jesus comes back, that body that was laid to rest in the grave is going to be resurrected. No, death for the Christian, death is only temporary. That's why the Bible in the New Testament refers to it as sleep. Now, some of you may want to sleep a little longer than you got to sleep today. But that's still temporary. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And you woke up. And that's what it is for the believer. That body's going to be in the grave for a little while, but it's coming out. Amen. Death can't hold it. Amen. Born that man no more may die. Praise God. That's what we celebrate today. Amen. Praise God. And then the song that Tom sang, Oh Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till, listen to this now, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Do you know when Jesus appears in your life, when you get a revelation of who he is, and when you get a revelation of his love, you know what else you'll find out? How much you're worth. It'll raise your value. It'll raise your self-esteem. You'll find out, Jesus, you did this for me. Jesus, you paid the price for me. Yes, he did. He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Praise God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Some other verses in O Holy Night that we don't normally hear have these phrases in them. In all our trials, born to be our friend. That's what Jesus did. And that's who He is. In all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. Did you realize that? Hebrews 4 talks about that in verse 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In all of our trials, our tests, our temptations, He's there to strengthen us. He's there to see us through. Why? He faced the same thing. He knows what it's like. He's not oblivious. He's not aloof to your suffering, to your temptation, to your tests and trials. He knows what it's like. He took upon a body. He lived in this on this earth. He breathed the same old air that you've been breathing your whole life long. Amen? Truly, it says this, O Holy Night, truly He taught us to love one another. His law is love, and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother. And in His name, all oppression shall cease. Jesus introduced a new commandment, John 13:34. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He taught us to love one another. He gave us a new law, the law of love. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You say, I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments? If you keep the law of love, you'll keep all the ten. If you walk in love, you'll be keeping all the Ten Commandments. It's interesting to note this. O Holy Night was translated out of French. It was originally written in French. It was translated to English in 1855 by a man named John Sullivan Dwight. And he added the verse, chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother. And in His name all oppression shall cease. That wasn't in the original version, but he added that, 1855. I think it's significant that the movement to end slavery was on in this country. At that time, and of course the Civil War took place a few years later, and Abraham Lincoln made the Emancipation Proclamation to abolish slavery. But all of that, all that movement was started, and any movement to end slavery and end exploitation and oppression of people around the world, if you trace it back, you'll find Christians there. You'll find followers of Jesus there. You'll find people who are moving and doing that in the name of Jesus. In His name, all oppression shall cease. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. There's one song we're going to sing in a moment. It's not been around a long time. It's just a few years old. It's by Matt Redman, who's one of my favorite songwriters and singers. And it's called Light of the World. It's a beautiful Christmas song. It's a contemporary classic. The words to Light of the World are, O Jesus, Son of God, so full of grace and truth. That's John 1:17. The Father's saving word, so wonderful are You. That's John 1:1-14. The angels long to see and prophets search to find. That's 1 Peter 1:10-12. The glory we have seen revealed. That's John 1:14. You shone upon the earth, but who will understand? That's John 1:4-5. You came unto Your own, but who will recognize? That's John 1:10-11. Your birth was prophesied, for You are the Messiah who came and walked upon the earth. Your glory we have seen, the one and only King, and now You're living in our hearts. Light of the world, light of the world, You shine upon us. In You all things were made, and nothing without You. In heaven and on earth, all things are held in You. That's Hebrews 1:2-3. And yet You became flesh, living as one of us. That's Hebrews 2:14. Under the shadow of the cross, where through the blood You shed, You have made peace again. Peace for a world that God so loves. Light of the world, light of the world, light of the world, You shine upon us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad Jesus came? Aren't you thankful for God's great plan? We have a reason to celebrate. We have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to be glad. I love the songs of Christmas. I love the message that they communicate. Just let, I know the radio stations will stop playing them probably after today, but listen to some more of them today and just praise God today and thank God. Take some more time today and thank God for what He did for us in sending Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus today for what He did. You know, He didn't have to come. He volunteered. He said, I come to do Your will, O God. And He willingly came. He willingly laid aside His glory and came into this earth. And He brought life and He brought light. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for every person here. And Lord, I thank You right now that the truth and the reality of who You are. Father, I pray that it would shine in people's hearts brighter than ever before. I pray, Father, if there are those here that have never received You, they've never made room in their heart. Let every heart prepare Him room. Lord, You're not going to force Your way into anyone's life. You have to be invited in. So, Father, I pray right now, if there are those here that have never invited You in, I pray that they'd make that decision today. So while we're in an attitude of prayer, I want to just lead you in a prayer right now. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer already, you won't mind praying this prayer again as a reaffirmation of your faith. But if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you pray this prayer with your own voice, from your own heart, and invite Him in. Invite Him to come in right now. I'm not going to ask anybody to come to the front or anything like that, but let's just pray this prayer. Just pray this after me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me and that He was raised from the dead. Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus. Right now, I prepare room in my heart for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I receive You as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. Thank You for coming into my heart, taking away my sin, and becoming the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.